Hey guys, this is Laura Vandervoort. I played Kara Kent / Supergirl on Smallville, and you are listening to Always Hold On to Smallville.
Welcome to Always Hold On to Smallville. In this podcast, we talk about each and every episode of the Young Superman show that ran from 2001 to 2011 on the WB and the CW. I'm your host, Zach Morn. We're back with our 14th level, 33.1. Can you believe it? 14. That's like 2.5 months of these, if you listen once a week and to nothing else. Anyway, the point is, we're all back. It's a good time. I'm here with Mr. Lance Laster. What's up, Lance?
What's up?
Lance is my occasional co-host on these roundtables. He's an extra bonus for those of you who are on this conversation. A very well-liked voice among the listeners. I think so.
Well, I'm grateful for that. It's good to see people, and it's cool to see like a new cast here.
That's right. We have some newer faces, some new faces. Let's go down the roll call for 33.
And some I've only seen like their names like online before, so it's good to see them in person. So that's
pretty
cool.
Put names to faces and voices and stuff.
Yeah.
It's great. So we have Mr. Lex Ledger. What's up, Lex?
Hey, good to be back.
His name really is Lex. He's not just a big Smallville fan.
Yes,
I assume,
actually is.
Right? Is that your real name?
Yes. Well, it's short form for Alexander, but yeah.
There you go, of course. Alexander. We have Joey Dineberg. What's up, Joey? Dean Berg.
Hey, how's it going?
It's all right. I know you told me that in like a message. You're like, it's pronounced like Dean Berg. I'm like, all right, I got it. So
I get it all the time, both ways, so it doesn't matter.
Very good, very good. You know, people have pronounced my name Zatch before, if you believe it.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Back when I worked in retail, I had a name tag, said Zach, Z-A-C-H, the proper spelling. Sorry, Zach.
Yeah, I mean, there's no K in Zachary, so.
Well, yeah. I mean, I guess there could be if you spell it wrong, but anyway.
That's true.
I feel your pain. Then got Mr. J.J. Hodges. What's up, J.J.?
Hey, guys. Great to be back.
What is J.J. short for? This is what we're doing this time, I guess. So what?
It's short for Joseph Jr.
All right. There we go. So that's the J is a junior.
My father claims I was named after his grandfather, but I think he named me after himself, but that jerk.
There it is. And we have a new voice on 33.1, Mr. Jason Skipper. What's up, Jason?
Hey, thanks for having me.
Obviously, this is an audio format, so you guys can't see it. But Jason, not only has a Superman shirt on, which Joey has as well. Well done.
He has a Bears version.
Yeah, that's right. This is a specific Chicago Bears version that Joey, is that what that is?
Absolutely. We're not playing today, but that means I get to watch real offense. So.
There it is. But Jason, you have an entire Superman display behind you there, man.
That's impressive.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, so this has been the culmination of 10 years in the works. So every Christmas, every birthday, friends, family always give me a little something to be able to add. And this is just part of it, actually, what you see behind me here. I actually have over to my left two glass cases full of Smallville, Superman, you name it, memorabilia for all kinds of stuff. And even more so in my closet over here, I have of course, like the jacket, I've got the jerseys, I've got all kinds of stuff. I've been collecting for a while.
I understand. Why do you think I'm giving stuff away on our social media? it's the same thing. Oh, Zach, you like Superman, right? Here's the same thing you had. And I'm not giving it all away, obviously, but you know, that's cool. It's a cool spread, man. Are those the Smallville Funkos behind you?
They are. Yes, they are. Those are the Smallville Funkos. I've got two up here, and then I've got the other three over here. So I've got those. I've got, you could probably see over this side, right here. Nope, this side. there we are. Yeah. I found this on eBay. It's actually a miniature version of the Crow's football helmet that somebody had made. And so I was just like, okay, I couldn't find the real thing. So this little guy will help.
That's really cool.
You got to take that to a convention if we ever have conventions again and get Tom Welling to sign it as Clark Kent.
Oh, absolutely.
That's unique. That's a unique piece. That's really cool.
That is cool. So.
Now, one of the things that I want to show you, it's not Smallville related, but this is, if I ever meet John Schneider, this is actually showing my age. I actually carried this.
Oh wow.
That's the real thing.
Now, for the listeners who are like, what he has an original Dukes of Hazzard lunchbox. That's legit, man. With Tom Wopat as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Oh, that's cool, man. So, speaking of your fandom, let's just get into it, right? How did you become a fan of Superman Smallville and find your way here?
So, grew up a Superman fan as a kid. When I was introduced to Smallville, I actually had just moved to Tampa, Florida. I grew up in the state of South Carolina. All my friends were back home, and they were watching the first season. I didn't know anything about it until the beginning of the second season. So one of my good friends was like, hey, we're all watching this. Won't you watch it with us at the same time? So I would. I'd shut off my phone. Nobody could get in touch with me. We'd watch that full hour. And then as soon as it was over, immediately my phone was ringing. We were talking recaps with all my friends. So I started from season two, never seeing the first season at all the way to season 10. Now, I did catch up and, you know, got the first season box set and was able to catch up maybe a year or two later. But I was hooked from that moment on.
So were you a big Superman fan before that?
Yeah, I was. I grew up watching like the Super Friends and also the Justice League as a kid with the cartoons.
Right.
And then, of course, all the Christopher Reeve movies. I have all those on my shelf as box set. But the Donner Cut was my absolute favorite, the second one. So I still watch it today.
The Donner Cut, man, that's tough. The best version of Superman 2, I think, is in between both of those. So I go back and forth on which one I like more or less. I mean, there's some great stuff that we never saw before, but also I'm like, oh, you know what? They actually improved a few of those things when they did the theatrical version. So I wish there was a Donner Cut in like 1985, like there is with the Snyder Cut today about Justice League. Assumingly, it hasn't come out yet. We'll see. Anyway, I don't want to set Lance off, so we're going to move on from that.
I didn't say anything.
I'll say the one thing that was not an improvement was, General, did you care to step outside? You have to keep.
Haven't you heard of freedom of the press? No, he's an alien. Dumb thing to say. And what's funny about that, I mean, that is like, there's all these things on Twitter. They're like, what's your favorite line of all time? I'm like, oh, probably that. Like in any movie, like General, would you care to step outside? Right.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, right, that was a Lester reshoot, but it's referencing the Donner scenes of the diner where he tells that guy, like, would you care to step outside? I'm like, it's so like, that makes so much sense. But anyway, yeah, Superman 2 is great. Sometimes I do get overwhelmed with like all the behind the scenes stuff. Sometimes I'm like, oh God, I'm so sick of people talking about this or that. But if you just like turn all that off and just watch it, it's still so incredibly enjoyable. So I love Superman too. So, well, Coleman, so how did you find the podcast of Always Home to Smallville?
Well, I've been listening to you guys for 2 years actually. And then I was sitting there talking to my wife the other day and I was just like, these guys are talking about stuff I'm talking about with my friends already. I got to get in on this. So I was immediately, let's just pull the trigger. I'm jumping 33.1 all the way. All right. And so I wanted to be part of the discussion.
Well, you made the right choice, right, guys?
Eh.
All right, well, cool. We're happy to have you here. A topic that we had floated around talking about, which JJ suggested, is something called Make a Pitch For. Is that right, JJ?
Yes. Yeah.
So that's something we can kind of jump into some conversation here with, see where that takes us and see where we go from there. But okay. But JJ, this is your idea. So kind of tell us what you would pitch and kind of what this idea means.
The basic idea is like if we were in front of Warner Brothers executives or if we were in front of Rocksteady or WB Montreal, like, and they said, hey, we're thinking about doing a Superman movie. We're thinking about doing a Superman video game. Or if you're in front of CW, we're thinking about doing another Superman TV show, assuming that Superman and Lois wasn't a thing.
I know what I would do. I would put it in Smallville.
What a thought. So it's like, so if you had an idea, what would it be? And I remember years and years ago, I actually wrote a story that was essentially just sort of a remake, like mixing Smallville and Superman years and years ago. And I like reread it because I wrote that during high school and I reread it a few years later. And I was like, man, this is bad. I could probably do better. And as the years have gone on, I think about it a lot and it truly annoys the crap out of me when they say, you know, oh, well, you know, we have a hard time getting Superman right or anything like that. I'm like, well, it's all right there, isn't it? That, like, who can't relate to wanting to be a good person and feeling like the rest of the world is just like telling you to not be a good person. You know what I mean? Like, it's very, very simple thing, I think. So my pitch, if I were to do it now, different than what I wrote in high school, I would do a version of Superman and the Legion of Superheroes by Geoff Johns and Gary Frank.
Okay.
That is my all-time favorite Superman story. I reread it quite frequently. I think it's, if any of you haven't read it, has everybody read it here?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, it's...
I haven't read that yet.
So yeah, so give us a brief summary, JJ.
What happens is it starts with Brainiac Robot attacking Metropolis Park, and then it turns out it's not the evil Brainiac, it's Brainiac 5 from the future, and he says, "You don't remember us, but we were your friends, we're from the future, we need your help." So they recruit Superman to come back to the 31st century to help them with a problem, but he comes too late, and turns out that the sun is red, and there's all this xenophobia, and someone has, they never really say who, and I think it ended up not getting resolved because of the New 52.
Thanks, New 52.
One other thing you've taken from me. Someone has rewritten Superman's history to say that he was gifted from, instead of being, you know, given his
an
powers,
alien. Yeah,
an alien. He was a human,
right,
who got
right.
his powers from Mother Earth or something.
Revisionist
like that.
History, a very important thing to keep in mind for all of us, really.
Yes, and that's why I think it would be the perfect Superman movie to do now, especially with Henry Cavill, because I think it'd be really great with everything that's been going on, especially this past year, for goodness sakes. It would be great to see a version of that, but it's also, I think it would be prudent to mix it as the origin of the Legion of Superheroes. Mm-hmm. So you have a new series to spin off from. And I think with Henry Cavill, I think it was what they were kind of trying to do with Superman. Batman v Superman, like make Superman seem like he was irrelevant-ish, but he was still trying to do good. I think this could be a better way to do it, where it's like, am I really doing any good? And then it's like, yeah, you're doing good. 1,000 years from now, we're inspired by you and we want to be heroes for you. And I think using those villains like Earthman and all those other characters are so interesting.
I forgot
so
about
cool.
the Earthman. That's right.
Yeah.
I forgot. Yeah, but it's starting to come back to me. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was pictured him like with a German accent when I was reading it, you know, because he does look like the Aryan perfection.
Yeah, that's kind of what they're leaning into with that for sure.
So. Right. But I think that type of story is absolutely perfect for a Superman movie today. That's what I would pitch. That would be my Superman movie if I were making it. And I'd keep Henry Cavill as Superman.
Yeah, with Smallville, as we all know, they did the Legion, you know, on a CW budget for 2008-09 at the time. I always wanted an episode where they went to the future, right? But I was like, no, they can't afford that. But that'd be a perfect thing to like, even like a series finale, right? Or if it's like, we're in the future and look, it's a painting of Tom Welling as Superman, yeah. Right? It's a hologram. You don't have to put on the thing, right? And then they wipe his mind at the end and then he doesn't know he went there and it's fine. But I mean, honestly, that would be dumb to wipe one of your main character's memories at the end of their series. So they wouldn't do that. But anyway, that's a cool idea, JJ. I like it. The Legion is a very, I like how the time loopholes work with them because, like, he was friends with them when he was a kid and he went to the future, but, like, sometimes they erase his mind, sometimes they don't, I guess. Had its own series and so many adventures with, like, the Brainiac 5 and Stargirl and all them, Lightning Lad. And that would be a cool way to kind of make that more mainstream because, you know, we love Smallville, right? But still, they were in a handful, like, gosh, what, two? I say a handful. They were in two episodes, weren't they? There was in Legion.
There's the Legion episode, and then
Doomsday comes back. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, just the one comes back.
Right, the main guy.
Yeah.
Cosmic Lad?
Cosmic Boy.
Cosmic Boy.
Yeah. Lightning Lad.
Yes.
Lightning Boy and Cosmic Lad.
But I thought that those actors were great in that episode. I love that episode.
And I was like, I can't wait to see them more in the future. And then we're like, no, we're ignoring all them. We're not going to the future anymore.
Right.
We're going to have a Legion ring stuff in the next two seasons, yep. But we're not going to see those characters anymore.
Isn't that where Supergirl goes? Doesn't she go?
That is right. She goes to, we never see where she goes to. I mean, we know she's going there, but she's like, all right, see you later. And then she disappears and goes to the 31st. Well, can't wait for that Supergirl spinoff show with her in the 31st century. This Thursday on the CW.
It might be the finale for Supergirl.
Actually,
it could
be. That's my thought.
Yeah.
If they don't, like, that's a huge missed opportunity.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know about the rest of you, but if my cousin just went missing twice within a couple of years, I'd be a little nervous. I'd be a little worried about her.
I'd be concerned.
Well, there's a precedent set for it because Clark's like, ah, she'll turn up again. She was gone for like a year, and I didn't really care.
That's what I'm saying.
And they, to be fair, they do tie it all up in the season
11 comic book, which we covered, which eventually we'll get back to finishing. we have a 2 or 3 more arcs to finish on the podcast, but we'll get there. But yes, Supergirl, right? They never knew what to do with her, so they just sent her away or erased her mind all the time.
Yeah,
on Smallville. But anyway, it's a cool JJ. I like that. That's a good pitch. It's a good new thing, right? Because I think we all can agree, we're kind of sick of seeing the same things over and over, right?
Yeah.
That's like with Batman. Like the thing I want to see is a Batman Beyond movie, right? Because it's new and they haven't seen that, right? So things like the Legion of Superheroes has a big comic history and it's cool to bring to the mainstream. So cool. That is your pitch, I guess. So we're all gonna pitch something at the end. We're all gonna decide which one we'd like to see the most. That's what we're gonna do. All right. So. Those are the rules.
Okay.
Lex, how about you? What do you got, man? You got any ideas? Movies, TV shows, video games, whatever you got in mind. What you got?
Yeah, I did think of, it's not going to be as specific as his. I was kind of in the beginning stages of it. I was going to say before I go into that about on Smallville, they didn't really seem to know what to do with Supergirl. The CW show now, they don't seem to really know what to do with Superman. So he's pretty much just there to make everybody else look stronger than him. That kind of seems to be because he's constantly...
Like Justice League season 1.
Yes.
Oh, no. He beat up Superman.
So unfortunately, even though I'm going to watch the show when it... the Lois and... Is it called Lois and Clark? What's that one?
The New Adventures of Superman. No, that was 1993.
No, I know, but the
Superman
title.
And Lois.
Superman and Lois.
The New Adventures of Lois and Clark. That's actually, what it should be called. It should be called Superman and Lois, The New Adventures of Smallville, since the show takes place
in Smallville.
Not only the same town, but the same sets.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's
so. I'm always curious what they do with that, so when that eventually can film. But anyways, yeah, so I have like a kind of a general idea.
Mm-hmm.
In most movies, they always seem to go with like a big bad, you know, like a Darkseid, Brainiac. I kind of would like them to see...
Well, I wish they would put Darkseid or Brainiac in a movie.
Yeah, well, Snyder Cut, come on, it's coming. Brainiac would be nice, though.
Right.
But I would kind of like the second to last episode of Smallville, we have the Legion of Doom, although I would use the Revenge Squad, which is kind of the other title for it. We have like 4 or 5 kind of B-list villains, but they do team up because it'd be nice to see them have to fight just more than one big bad, 4 or 5, if they kind of put themselves together and kind of can, yeah, just like, you know, beat them with numbers basically is the intention. Usually in that you have like Metallo, Parasite, Livewire, and maybe a few Toy Man, maybe a few others like that. But they never really do that. They always seem to kind of go with that one big. So I would like a movie where, yeah, it is like 4 or 5 of them teaming up, trying to kind of take them down because they can't do it on their own.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of about as far as I got with it. This is kind of a general overview. But those are the villains I like to be seen in it anyways.
Yeah.
Kind of a team of them.
Well, yeah, and that's a good way to showcase some villains who we would otherwise never see. I can't believe they haven't used Metallo. I mean, Metallo is such an... Like, you take the Terminator, and you just give him a green rock in his chest,
yeah,
and make him a henchman in a movie. It's all you have to do.
Even the
I like Metallo. He was great.
Yeah, even the Smallville version of Metallo, he didn't seem like it was budget Metallo. That seemed full-fledged. I mean, it looked good for the most part.
I mean, I wish at some point they would have burned off his skin and he would have become a Terminator. But yes, as far compared to what they... Like Cyborg,
yeah,
for example.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Oh, you're mechanical inside. That's cool. You're some kind of cyborg, I guess. But anyway,
we'll never see.
You know, it's interesting with Lex's pitch. It's weird saying that out loud. No offense. we're on a Smallville podcast. No, I'm just kidding. But having Bloodsport
in
the Suicide Squad.
Oh, oh yeah.
but like Bloodsport in the Suicide Squad, I think is really cool. Like, and they announced him as the man who shot Superman or tried to shoot Superman, whatever it was. And I was like, oh, that's so cool. That's such a great character. So I'm glad it's Idris Elba in the movie. So It's some way to get a B-list, C-list, whatever villain.
Is he going
to
have kryptonite bullets in the movie?
Who knows?
Which they did on Smallville. You know, just saying. But
yeah.
Lois and Clark did that too. So we can't claim everything. So
Smallville had kryptonite everything. Like,
yeah, it's true.
You think of it, it's going to be
it's all been
kryptonite
done.
Form.
Yeah. Kryptonite gum.
Okay. Yeah. They had kryptonite money in one episode.
Did they?
Yeah. Money. I don't remember.
Which episode
that.
Is this?
That's the stiletto episode.
Oh, that's why I don't remember that. Because
yeah. Lauren Wynn loves that episode, and she and I argued about it for a while.
I have watched that one, I guess, twice, when it was on the air and when I got the DVDs. And I'll watch it again in a couple of years when we get there on the podcast. And Lauren will be my guest. She's already requested that episode. So
do you guys know who, like I said, the Revenge Squad is like five characters? I know I named like three or four. Can you guys think of any others? I know there's one I'm missing. I just was wondering.
Why don't you name them for us and we'll go from there.
I believe you could either call it the Revenge Squad or Legion of Doom, I suppose. But Metallo, Parasite, Toy Man, I think Livewire was one. And then there was another one. I know there was five at least. I just can't remember. I don't know. They did it in the animated series too. But
yeah, that's how I'm picturing all the animated series.
In the animated series, was it the Weather Wizard? Was he one of them?
No, that was only the Flash episode.
Okay. Actually, I think in the Justice League one.
This is when they send him to the future, right?
Yeah, where he goes to the future.
Yeah. Oh wow.
Weather Wizard, Toy Man
was
choice.
Toy Man for real was one.
Yeah,
and Kalibak was one.
He was there.
How'd he, man, Kalibak?
He got a lot of run in that show.
Kalibak, that's like getting demoted to Double-A baseball from Kalibak. Like you were working for Darkseid, and now you're working with a toy man.
Yeah. Weather Wizard would be an odd choice too. So I'm sure they can find.
There's three of them on the Flash. Pick one. So a Sinister Six Superman movie. There it is. Good job.
Essentially,
Lex.
Yeah, pretty much.
Everything you need is at Oscorp. We need some guys. I'm thinking six. Hashtag release the web cut. Anyway, that's trending now, by the way. I would actually like to see that because Amazing Spider-Man 2 is one of the bottom five superhero movies, complete garbage. But
we're getting Electro again.
That's true. Electro's coming back. Right? So
maybe Emma Stone. I just saw that today.
That's the one thing I want to resurrect from those two movies. Jamie Foxx's Electro.
If they do a Spider Gwen movie and it isn't Emma Stone, I'll be very upset.
Yeah,
because so will most people.
Hang in there, Jason. We're gonna get to you, but so Joey,
I'm still here.
Joey, what is your pitch for something Superman related? What do you got?
So you know, really want to make a new spin, want to make it relatable. So it's Superman, but he's evil. I'm just kidding.
That's genius. You know, we never see that. You know, I would like to see more evil Superman in my movies, video games, and comics.
Just goes
they can make a whole show better on Amazon Prime. But that's how you do it, though. Do your own thing. Like, I'm talking about The Boys now. What if Superman were evil? Anyway.
I feel like you cannot get away from evil Superman.
Although Tom Welling's the best evil Superman. So I would love to see an evil Superman movie with he's the villain. It'd be so good.
And if he plays Superboy Prime, he doesn't have to wear the outfit.
That would have been perfect. Like, when we were
just
in high school,
the S on your chest and then...
Yeah, when we were in high school sitting around the lunch table, it's like, oh, well, clearly, Brandon Routh is Earth 2 Superman, and then Christopher Reeve would be, CGI Christopher Reeve would be Earth 1 Superman. I don't know, right? It's unfortunate, but it's the case. But it's the Kingdom Come, that's the Christopher Reeve Superman, right? And then Tom Welling would be Superboy Prime. Like, this is us talking about Lance 2003.
We legit have talked about that before.
It would be perfect. It would work.
Oh, man. One day, when deep fakes go way too far, someone will make that happen.
And when Tom Welling needs money.
So, Joey, that's your pitch. Moving on. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding.
So I know video game was mentioned early on, and I cannot think of a good Superman video game since the Superman Returns game, which I wouldn't necessarily call that good, but it was, you know, for the time,
considering the alternatives, that is the best Superman video game, unfortunately.
So, you know, thinking about that, and I think back in when you're talking about season one, I feel like you mentioned it, Smallville itself just lends itself to a video game where you're acquiring powers as you go, and it can really build on itself. And not that it necessarily needs to be Smallville, but you can go through, you know, you can start out with young Superman.
This is my idea, but that's fine. I'll come up with something else. This is exactly what I was going to do. Oh, man. Please continue.
But yeah, you can slowly keep getting powers going on and, you know, start out in Smallville, eventually move it on to Metropolis. And, you know, except at the end of the game, you actually, you know,
gain
put on the suit.
You gain your last power of flight, and you don't just push a planet away.
You become really far away CGI Superman, and then the comic book ends.
Exactly. So just taking the Smallville blueprint for a video game and, you know, putting modern technology behind it.
Would you do an open universe thing? Like an open world, like, oh, I got to go to the Talon to get some coffee before I, you know, that kind of thing.
I think with Superman, it lends itself. I know where you can kind of fast travel to different things. I mean, you could have multiple cities going on. Kind of, if anybody's played the Lego DC games,
mm-hmm.
They have a little bit of that.
Where
you're in the Watchtower, you're going all throughout the DC universe, and it works all right, you know. I mean, with Superman, it's hard because you could fly straight through buildings like Henry Cavill, but yeah, I feel like there, you know, there's enough there to put something reasonable together.
Very good. No, like I said, that was legitimately going to be my idea too. So good job. I 100% agree with you. That one gets my vote. No, I think it's something else. No, I mean, the whole point of Superman, like getting powers as you go through each level, like that is so like perfect for a video game. Because the problem with all these Superman video games is like, well, he's Superman, he's all powerful. Like the Superman Returns, what they had in the game was like the city had a level of destruction. If it gets too high, then you lose the level. That makes sense, you know. Man, Henry Cavill would have failed that. Yeah, anyway, enough dunking on that for now. But you know, you have like thinking about stuff like, oh, there's the Kawachi Caves level. Like I'd be just like, to me, if they made a small little game. Right, it'd be so cool just to walk like the open world. Like I'm gonna go walk around the Kawachi Caves, right? It's just like just because it'd be cool to do that and get a geography, and you have to sneak into Luther Mansion, right? Missions like that would be so fun. So, if only I don't know, right? I mean, I guess they weren't thinking these terms back in 2002, 2003, whenever Smallville was at the height of its popularity. But it's like such an obvious thing to do. You get the voice cast, you know. Like Rosamund does voiceover work and always has, mm-hmm. so he's perfect for that. I'm sure the rest of them would have done it at the time. So
that level of sneaking into the Luther Mansion would be the easiest one because it's, yep. you know, all the time.
That's the training mode. That's
just
the,
walk in. Yeah.
Very good. Very good. All right, Jason, man, what do you got?
All right, so I'm a big fan of The Office and also Parks and Rec. So I thought, what about you do it at Luther Corp? You have you people working there, you know, somebody from accounting loves somebody from sales. You set it just like The Office, but at the same time, things are blowing up around you. You've got villains coming in and out. You have Lex's lackeys walking around, you know, doing some henchman stuff. I mean, you have the whole set, and then you have people interviewing. Talking about how they hate this, sort of like,
kind of like that show with Vanessa Hudgens.
Yeah, that's
Powerless.
Yes, Powerless. Right. Yeah,
mm-hmm. That's it. Yeah, that's
was it 10 episodes?
Something like that. Yeah.
Thanks, NBC. Adam West was in an episode.
Mm-hmm.
Or you know, with the new Star Trek animation, where it's like the below deck or the lower levels,
lower
something
decks.
To that effect. Where you, mm-hmm. that's it. Where you have more things going on and you just have all these people in the background and they have actual lives. And this idea came to me because a friend of mine, we were sitting there talking about it. It's just like, what happened to all those people that were building the Death Star? You know, and they were all working real hard. Then all of a sudden they blew up the second one and these guys were still doing construction. They probably had families, you know, they were in the union.
That's cool though. You got to think of new gimmicks like that, right? I'm all for those gimmicky shows when we can get like, real movies and shows alongside them, right? Where it's like, all right, you can't get any Superman movies or TV shows, but here's this. Like, no. Like, that's a good, like, alternative. Like, you can go see your Superman movie, and then you can go watch that show, and it's like a fun, it doesn't even have to be the same universe, right? It's just everybody understands. And I honestly never watched Powerless. It's on my list one day to watch. Mm-hmm. But everybody kind of understands, like, oh, well, what the DC universe is. Like, oh, there's Green Lantern over there doing his thing, right? You can throw in all kinds of references to things that you never have to see.
Yeah.
Now, would you set it at, like, Luther Corp in Metropolis or the Smallville fertilizer plant, Jason?
I would say Luther Corp in Metropolis. And I would do it there so that way you could have, you know, somebody's out at the cafe down below having coffee, then all of a sudden, you know, a massive boulder or, like, the... something just drops from the sky and there's a massive fight right there. And it could be opening up to all the villains, all the heroes from the DC complete. And then you just kind of see people coming and going as, you know, just their normal lives, but yet they have to live like this.
You could treat all the superheroes like they treated Superman in season one of Supergirl, where he's just a shadowy CGI guy. Here he comes. Oh, there he goes. Nope. There's his boots right there. We can't show him, though. There he is. So, very good. No, it's, I like that. The Office. I love The Office as well. And, you know, it's a good hook for anything, you know, like the one camera sitcom, I guess, is what they call how those shows like Parks and Rec are described as. So, for sure. So, right, very good. Well, Lance, you're next.
All right.
What do you have? I'm going to think of my next thing. So
okay, cool. My idea is for a video game, but not in the sense of, you know, like an open world, like Arkham style or a fighting game or something like that. My idea is more like a, like think like Mario 64 / Mario Galaxy / Mario Party with Superman. And the big bad of the game is...
Bowser.
However you like to pronounce it, Mixoplick or Mixispidilic, right? Mm. So that way, that makes all the levels be, you know, like as whimsical as you want them to be. And part of the gimmick is like, you know, it's like he's testing Superman because that's what that character does, right? And so all the levels, it's like you for some of the levels at least, you are only given, you know, certain powers that are at your disposal at a time for whatever tasks that you need to complete. And in each level, you can have somebody from Superman's rogues gallery that you have to eventually defeat using, you know, just, you know, super breath and flight or just your heat vision. Or there's one level where you're Clark and you have to, like, be sneaking around someplace. Like, stuff like that, I think, would be a fun game. And then you can have lots of cameos from the DC universe in there because it's Mixoplick / Mixispidilic, however you want to pronounce it.
How do you guys say it? How does everyone say Mr. Mixis? I think when I was gonna say Mixisplick or whatever, like
I've always said Mixoplick.
Mixoplick. Mm. I've said Mixoplick. That's what I've said.
That's what I've said.
For some reason. Anybody else?
I've said it the same way.
On the animated series, he spelled it out Mixispidilic.
Yeah.
Actually, that reminds me, Lance, because of you, I now know how to say Ra's al Ghul, because I was always saying Raz as well.
Ra's al Ghul is dead.
And then when you explained that the creator named it that way, I was like, yep, that's logical. If you create it, you can call it whatever you want.
Yeah. He also consulted, like, you know, linguistic professors at UCLA and among other places to see what, like, how they would pronounce this name. And that's how he got Ra's back in the day. I'm going to trust the work that he put in for
Chris
that.
Chris Nolan doesn't even pronounce Carmine Falcone right.
That's correct.
So, I mean, I don't trust him. To Ra's al Ghul. It is funny. Ra's al Ghul, like, when I was a kid, I was watching the animated show, and I'm like, oh, they just invented him for the cartoon. Because I didn't know it was a comic book, right? But he's like, I'm called Ra's al Ghul. And then even Batman Beyond, like, it's like, they even make it a point where Terry calls him Ra's. And they're like, no, it's a common mistake. So it's all there. And at least Arrow did some, like, okay, we're going to use both, so... what do they call him on Gotham? Because that's my definitive version of Batman. That's a joke. Moving on. Call him Dr. Bashir on Gotham.
But no, but that you know, that's my idea. Like a game like that. I think that would be fun. Like, and it's a newer spin because it's, you know, with I think the problem with some of the older Superman games is like
it's, flying through rings.
Yeah, like you end up flying through rings or doing stuff that's like that is not necessarily Superman, and it's not really doesn't represent him in the best light. And I think it's because, like, you know, he's Superman, he can do anything. And so if you put him in a situation where he is limited to in certain respects, but in a way that it makes sense, but he still has powers and he could still do stuff. Like, you know, like I think that is the best solution.
Who here has played Superman 64?
No, I did back in the day. Yeah. Is that Shadow of Apocalypse? Yeah.
No, I've never played that one. Is that one any good?
I liked it. It's okay. I mean, it's not like great, but I think it's better than Superman Returns.
Ooh.
I like that. As a kid, I liked Shadow of Apocalypse. I thought it was cool.
Superman Returns. I mean, you can't fight that. That was I love that.
I mean, it was Bizarro. It was Metallo. I mean, the thing about Superman 64 is it's based off the animated series. Like, oh wow, Superman video game based off the animated show, and it was terrible. It was flying through rings. And I'm sorry, you missed one. And the controls are bad. It was just. Anyway, you go search YouTube and you'll see lots of videos about how awful that game is. But cool.
Yeah, Shadow of Apocalypse has Metallo on the cover. I just looked it up now.
So. Okay, yeah, it's the animated. It's based off the animated show, right? And he's like,
yeah.
I remember the cover. Yeah.
But I think it's at the time I had an Xbox and PS2 or vice versa, and I just didn't get it. Because that's back when they were like had exclusive for platform. Unless it's a Mario game, there's no reason for anything to not be on multiple platforms, you know. So anyway. Okay, well, you guys have covered all the good stuff, so let me I was thinking about something. This is a pitch for a comic book, which is pretty obvious, I think, which they'll never do because it's so obvious. Mm-hmm. Is they need to do Superman 78, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's be continuation. First of all, there's no comic adaptations of the Christopher Reeve Superman movies other than Superman 4, because that's the one you want. but there just aren't versions of them because they have the licensing rights and stuff back in the day. So and this is like a mega project, right? So this is pie in the sky, but that's what we're doing here, right? So I would like to see an Alex Ross version of Superman the movie, and then Richard Donner Superman 2, but like the one that they would have done in 1981, and not like, let's reuse the ending. That's the big thing for me, Jason, is they reuse the ending of A Verse in the Earth, and that about breaks the movie for me.
Yes. Yeah, agreed. They do. Yeah, that's the one downfall for it.
Big time.
At least they explain why they do. Like, if you watch the commentary, he explains.
So, well, that's what we were going to do before we took the ending out of the first one. Like, yeah, but you did. Like, if you had to come back in the 80s, you would not have done that. Or, hell, maybe they would have. Maybe, I don't know. But the point is, that's my biggest problem with that one. So, Alex Ross, you know, does he still do, like, graphic novels and stuff?
He does covers.
Yeah, and sculptures.
Yeah, I think just covers.
He's just and post stuff on Twitter.
Yeah.
Well, because he did the
artwork, if you can see it in the back.
Oh, there you go.
So, nice. Alex. Pretty much.
Very nice.
That's what he does.
Yeah, I think the last like full like comic he did, like he did Marvels, but I think for DC the last one he did was that Justice one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. So
that was okay.
That was a good book.
Yeah,
I mean, it's not Kingdom Come. I mean, like he did his masterpiece on this first try.
Well, then he did. You know, he did like the Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, and Shazam. Right? Remember that he did the
you mean Captain Marvel?
Yeah, the power of Shazam is the title on the cover. It's but Captain Marvel. Captain Marvel. So anyway, this is a special project, so they could get a special guy to do this, right? I mean, because I've seen like he's drawn Christopher Superman. I'm like, oh, that's amazing, right? So make it special, right? So I want to see Superman the movie and then Superman 2 and then extrapolate from there, right? I mean, actually, you know,
Superman 3, Superman, Richard Pryor.
Richard Pryor, I want to see that. I want to at the same time. I know that Richard Donner worked with Jeff Johns and did Superman Last Son as like a kind of a Superman 3-S story that he had in mind. Obviously, it's not a continuity thing of that, but it was, you know, ideas inspired, you know, from those movies from Richard Donner himself. But, you know, then continue on, do like a Superman 3 and then Superman 4, you know. So that's more like graphic, not like Earth 1 style graphic novel stuff, like very specific. Like realistically then, just do Superman 78 as a sequel to, you know, the Richard Donner Superman 2, if you will. You have Gary Frank draw it, right? Because he draws the perfect history of Superman. And then you just continue on, just like they did with, you know, obviously Batman 66 or, you know, Wonder Woman
77. Yeah. Or X-Men 92.
Is there an X-Men 92?
Yeah. It was short-lived.
Rip-offs of DC, Marvel. Look at ripping them off. Batman the Adventures continue.
Yeah.
So anyway, I guess that's my pitch. I would like to see just carrying on with the Christopher Reeve Superman movies.
What special 70s things would you have them like have special issues with?
Oh, that's good. Well, Batman 66 took them all, so I don't...
Well, that's why I ask you about 70s things, because those were 60s things.
Let me think. Well, Dukes of Hazzard, obviously.
Okay.
He needs to meet John Schneider.
Yeah, he meets John Schneider. He's like, man, I wish I had a son like you or something. You remind me of my dad. It's perfect, right? It's very on brand for Smallville as well. Starsky and Hutch.
Okay.
Chips.
What about Battlestar Galactica?
Battlestar Galactica!
There it is!
Oh, Superman! Can you imagine Superman flying up and fight, like blow up a Cylon ship? Oh,
there it
so
is.
Good. There it is.
A Wonder Woman crossover.
That would be great.
No brainer.
And see, that would be much better as a monthly rather than a graphic novel where you can just keep on seeing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's like, I have this like if we're going to do like prestige stuff, Alex Ross, do graphic novels. Mm-hmm. But if we're doing like a weekly or monthly book like that, it would be Gary Frank drawing it. And then you can find, there's so many people who could write it. You know, I'm not gonna.
Gary Frank did The Last Son with Jeff Johns and Richard.
No, those were the Kuberts. It was either Adam or Andy. I forget which one.
Okay.
But he is on there, and it also says Gary Frank. I went and grabbed it.
Oh, he's got it right there. Maybe Gary Frank did the covers?
Or did he?
But like starting with Superman Brainiac, for example, like that's when Gary Frank and Superman the Legion, right? As you mentioned, JJ, Gary Frank did those. And so to me, like if you're going to have, that's the thing about the Smallville comics, right? It's like if you're going to adapt something, it needs to look like what you're adapting.
Those covers look so good. Mm-hmm. And then once you get into the book, it looks nothing like Time Warner or Michael Rosenbaum.
Yeah, about halfway through, it's like, this could be from any Superman comic
book. Yeah, they're like, yeah, we're doing Superman. And
Which one is this for? Smallville? Oh, whatever. They all look the same.
Superman.
Print it. They'll buy it. We did. So anyway, So I would love to see that. I'm sure there's some rights issues and can never go talk to Jor-El because Marlon Brando is too expensive. But hey, it's fine. So anyway, I guess that's my pitch then.
You know, Zach, that reminds me because they've been doing a lot of that with they did the original Alien 3 script that they adapted from William Gibson. They're doing the original Alien script and then the original Predator script that they're making into comics.
Oh, really?
And
the Predator looked like a weird like praying mantis.
I think so. Yeah. I don't think it's out yet, but I read about it and I was so excited. And I was like, "There's no reason not to do like a Kevin Smith Superman Lives." You know, we talked about that before. Like what Tim Burton's Batman 3 would have been, you know, or even Joel Schumacher's Batman 3 that he was going to do. Apparently.
Batman Triumphant. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Apparently, because I remember they announced that like 5 or 6 years ago. At a Comic-Con, they were like, "Oh, Joel Schumacher is going to do his trilogy of Batman movies as a graphic novel," and I was like, "That's incredible!" And then never happened.
You know what? I remember that actually, that story coming out, and then because they got a script because they greenlit that before Batman and Robin came out, and they're like, "Oh,
yeah, never mind.
Why not?" Right? I mean, like Smallville season 11. It's a perfect example, right? You see all these other properties been like, okay, Firefly, right? It's like, oh, we got canceled, but here's some comics, right? Yep. That's the perfect medium to adapt these because movies and TV shows are such a visual medium. It makes a lot more sense to do them as a comic book than more like a novel or whatever. And that's cool, but like it's like here you are. So I guess let's all vote or whatever.
Okay.
We don't have to. We can all say we all won. I mean, I don't know.
We all won.
We're all winners here, right? It's 2020. Everybody gets a participation trophy. So good job, everyone. Of them all, I'm gonna go with Joey's though because that was my idea as well. So I like that one. I would love to see all the. I think these are all really good ideas. It just shows you how much they could be doing with Superman, but they're not doing right now. So.
Except really for making him evil.
Yeah, I really liked Lance's idea because it made me think of like you could have a level that takes place like in the Phantom Zone where he doesn't have any powers and he has to get out or something like that, like stuff like that, like the
just
the
like first on Smallville.
The whole like you know Superman mythos is at your disposal, right? Because like the villain is like this you know all powerful like magical thing, so you can use anything and it makes sense to use it.
And then the last level is his final evil form from whatever happened to the Man of Tomorrow.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. It was a monster form, yeah.
Which I always thought kind of looked like Jared Leto, if I'm being perfectly honest.
Who has returned?
Well, you know what? That's part. What a great segue, everyone. So we talked about that. Comic book news, right? Let's talk about it. Jared Leto is coming back as the Joker in Zack Snyder's Justice League. What do you guys think about that? Jason, let's start with you, man.
I love it. I love the continuity. I think that bringing that in, it also brings everything with the Suicide Squad, and that kind of opens the door for more of those villains to kind of cross in. So I thought he did a really good job in Suicide Squad. I wanted more of him, actually, and I would have paid to see a full movie of what he could have done and developed the character more.
Mm-hmm. So you would rather him have a solo Joker movie than Joaquin Phoenix, for example?
I'm going to say yeah on that one.
Okay. So, were you? I've got to just make him give us all his hot takes. What do you think about the Joker solo movie? Just put it out there.
Okay. All right. For a movie, just in general, it was great. Do I think Joaquin Phoenix is an amazing actor? Yes. Did he go there? Almost. I think he was sinister enough, but it was not for me. I didn't feel it. I didn't feel that he was the right person to be the Joker. Now, I saw where they went with Heath Ledger, and I thought that he had that embodiment of that crazy. I think that I think the Joaquin was, he was great. He wasn't magnificent that I was looking for.
Very good. That's a very diplomatic answer. Well done. So,
so if I offended anybody, I apologize.
Oh, no, no. There's no offense given or taken around here. So we're all good. Like, I loved Joker. Lance hated Joker. But we're still best friends, right?
Yep.
For now. Until Flashpoint. So cool. No, a fan of Jared Leto's Joker. That's the thing. Like, I'm hard on him, like, because it's like, I didn't like really what was in there, but I know there was a lot that wasn't in there, and it's hard to judge, but it's hard to be wedged between two Academy Award winning performances as the Joker, and he is, and there he is, and now we're getting more. So, what do you think, Joey?
I will say I am in no way in support of an air cut, because we don't need... We saw where the direction of that entire thing was. We don't need to flesh that out anymore. However, with somebody else giving it different direction, and I'm sure it's just an end credit scene, it'll be fun. Like, I'm not upset at all, but like, in terms of like, when people say, oh, we need more of Leto's stuff from Suicide Squad, I'm like, eh, nah. I think we know where that movie was going, and that we don't need any more of that. But this will be fine. I'm looking forward to it. But Hamill is my Joker.
There you go. What did you think of Joaquin Phoenix?
Oh,
I'm gonna ask everyone this now.
Yeah, no, I really liked the movie, and when I walked out of the theater, I looked at my wife and said, "I hope that they don't make a Batman movie off of this. This needs to be this movie. We don't need a sequel. It's just, you know, an its own thing, and that's all we need."
Yeah, as someone who loved it, I also do not want them to revisit it, because that can unravel the whole thing. But it made $1 billion, so we'll see, right? That's the problem if it's too successful. So, cool. Well, Lex, what about you, man? Are you excited to see more of Jared Leto as the Joker? Academy Award-winning actor Jared Leto return to his most famous role?
I'm surprised, actually, that they would bring him back with how much negative feedback he got. I'm very surprised. But on the other side, I'm a little happy to the... So he'll come back, he'll do a few scenes, and now all those people who say that, oh, it wasn't him that was bad, it was that movie. So now they can see him in this, and if he's not any better, then they can be quiet. Because he's not... If he's not that good, then you know. Then at least we know if it's him, or if, you know, maybe it was the movie. Maybe I'll be surprised. But I am surprised it's happening, but I'm interested to see. I know it's only going to be a couple scenes, I would assume. But
probably a couple scenes max, yeah. Because that's the thing, right? I mean, they had the movie is probably like 3.5 hours the way it was, and they're expanding it to 4 hours, and that's why we're having these reshoots. So these little connective tissues, maybe a little extra thing here and there, and we don't know how much or how little we'll see of him. But yeah, what about you, JJ? What are your thoughts on Jared Leto's return?
So
the return of the Joker, Batman nice. Beyond. That's a title that I said that people know. That's why it's funny. All right.
If they did that, I'd be all for it, actually.
That would be so amazing. Yes.
Yeah.
I want to see Jared Leto turn into Tim Drake. All right. Or maybe he is Jason Todd. Maybe that's what will be revealed in the and the Joaquin Phoenix Joker killed him and turned him into whatever. Anyway, but what do you think, JJ?
When I saw the news, my reaction was, oh, that's cool. And that's kind of where it stayed, which is strange given I'm like the biggest Batman fan. But I was just sort of like, it's probably going to be, like you guys said, just a couple of scenes. So I don't have my hopes up that this is going to lead into like a Ben Affleck HBO Max show or anything like that.
Yeah, temper your expectations, internet. Like I would love to see a Ben Affleck HBO Max show, but I see that announced, quote unquote announced, right? Like every day. Online, I'm like, all right, everyone, let's just all chill out.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to lead to anything, but I think it'll be a cool thing, especially if it's like the speculation is that it'll be like him and Lex talking at the end of the movie or something like that, or the end of the series, whatever you want to call it now, about like teaming up to fight the Justice League or whatever. Like that, I'd be on board for, and I'd be like, oh, okay, that's really cool, and then be done with it after that, because I'm just like, it'll be a few scenes. That's cool. I didn't mind him as the Joker, but I also wasn't like blown away. You know what I mean? So it's just like, all right, that's cool. Good for him, because I know he was mad about the Joaquin Phoenix Joker. So
he's the first Joker to ever return to the role, right?
Excellent point. In live action. Oh wait, wait, Cesar Romero. Three seasons on TV and a movie.
Oh, yeah.
Well, then there's Jerome, too.
Oh, well, again, we don't speak of Gotham here, Joey. Anyway, no, and I 100% agree that I, with you, JJ, what I want to see, and I've said this like on commentaries and posts and things, like, he should have been the one to meet Lex Luthor at the end. Like, regardless of what you think about Jesse Eisenberg's Lex Luthor or Jared Leto's Joker, to see the two of them in live action meet, that's a moment in comic book movies history that we have never gotten, right? Because we've had no one return as a Joker, right? So I don't know. Are they going to film him from a green screen and he's going to be in the place of Deathstroke at the end? And they're just going to ADR Jesse Eisenberg saying Joker instead of Mr. Wilson or whatever.
Where isn't Luthor in Arkham Asylum?
He also came back for reshoots, didn't he?
Yeah, Deathstroke.
Yep.
Yeah.
Setting up that Ben Affleck Batman HBO Max series. So that's what everybody says. I would love it. We'll see. So Lance, what are your thoughts, man?
On what?
All of it.
What in particular?
What do you what do you think of Joker? No, I'm just kidding. But no, more Jared Leto, right? What are your thoughts?
Okay, well, my thoughts on him coming back to the role. I was not a fan of him as the Joker. Now, part of that could be due to the fact that he was part of an awful movie. At the very best, it's intriguing to see what Zack Snyder will do with him in Zack Snyder's Justice League. Yeah, I'll just wait and see. I don't know how much he's going to be in it. I don't know how much he's going to contribute. So I don't really know. And if it's like minimal and he doesn't do much, that's great because I didn't really like him in that much anyway. So we'll see.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would love to see a scene between him and Batfleck because Affleck is returning for reshoots. And like, let's actually see them interact, not like a stunt double on a car, mm-hmm. like in Suicide Squad, right?
So yeah.
That would be worth, like, I don't know where you wedge that in into the movie, but like to kind of have those two meet, because all the other Batmans have met Jokers, right? I mean, even Joaquin Phoenix got to make the little Bruce Wayne kid smile. That's creepy.
Garbage.
Right? So
gross.
that's why Bruce Wayne hates the Joker, because he's like, that creepy guy came to his house once and made him smile and gave him a weird bouquet of flowers.
Nope.
And then some guy with a Joker mask killed his parents.
Nope. Y'all heard that, right? That sounds so stupid.
I finally understand. They connected all the dots.
That's why that movie sucks.
Oh, boy.
I don't understand how Alfred in that movie, coming up and seeing this guy do that to the kid he's, you know, watching.
Out of character.
Just be like, get out of here. I'm like, you don't walk away from that. I'd be like calling the cops. Like, what are you doing touching this kid? Like,
yep.
Well, I want to know where Alfred was when he wasn't picking him up from the theater. That's what I want to know. Yeah.
Now, how different is that movie if the first Bruce Wayne scene is kept in at the gate and everything, but the Joker does not result in the death of the Waynes?
Well, I love Batman 89, so that's fine with me. So it's like poetry, it rhymes. All right. You made me, I made you first. Or I made you, you made. Anyway, it's childish. You wouldn't hit a guy with the glasses, would you?
I knew you were going to say that. I was waiting for it.
So there you go. Jared Leto's the Joker. More exciting news. Can't wait for the Ryan Reynolds' Green Lantern announcement, right? I know how angry everyone's going to be about that, so I'm so excited. Because I'm not even the biggest fan of that, but I continuity trumps all for me, right?
So, what continuity? He's not a part of Zack Snyder's universe.
Just like Ang Lee's Hulk is technically part of the MCU because it's a unofficial. Like, the Incredible Hulk was actually, like, kind of a sequel to that movie.
Yeah, I know, but a better argument would have been, like, Ed Norton made a cameo, right? Yeah. Uh-huh.
No, that'd be better, because Ed Norton was actually...
That's correct.
Ed Norton was the best Bruce Banner,
I think. Ryan Reynolds, like, I don't like Ryan Reynolds either. so, like, and I didn't like his Green Lantern, and I would be surprised at people being... I am surprised that there is a... somewhat clamor for him to be in part of this project. It's like, I thought we all didn't like this. And so, like, its inclusion doesn't make any sense to me. It's like, why do you want something that we all already didn't like just because it's Green Lantern? Like, just because it's Green Lantern does not mean that it has to be included, especially if it was a Green Lantern that we did not like and was not well received. Kind of like other things in this universe that were also
getting Jared Leto's Joker back. So what's the difference? You say
if we could get, like, I don't like that either. So.
If we could get
who would you
anything...
rather see, Lance? Joaquin Phoenix or Jared Leto?
None of it. None of these things.
I think it's more that it's Ryan Reynolds. People just love Ryan Reynolds now after Deadpool. So I think it's just more they want him. That's what I'm thinking.
I think David Ramsey just needs to show up and save the day at the end. As
that'd be sweet.
if we could get anything from the Green Lantern movie, it would be Mark Strong as Sinestro.
Yes.
That's my vote. Like, just do the Jamie Foxx thing and just put him in the new thing.
From that movie, yeah, that is the acceptable thing.
But. Yes,
but he's
yes.
Dr. Savannah now, so
okay.
Oh yeah,
that'd be like Brandon Routh being the Atom and Superman. That will never happen. How many internet arguments I got with people over the years about like he can never be Superman again. Like infinite Earths, people. Yeah. All right, John Wesley's ship is the Flash.
That's when you just end it with your mom can't be Superman again.
That's true. Scientific fact.
That's how I end arguments with my roommate, and this is the look I get. Shaking his head, just
cool. Well, we covered the exciting Jared Leto news, and don't worry, we'll have a breaking news level 33.1. Ryan Reynolds comes back as Green Lantern. Now we're gonna have a Green Lantern party. It's gonna be great. Back in Lance and I were roommates, we were going to Walmart and they had all this Green Lantern birthday party stuff. And we're like, who would have a Green Lantern birthday party?
Yeah.
And then I think he ended up buying me a cup.
I did,
and it was like a Green Lantern, like a lizard Green Lantern. It was weird. Anyway,
there's lots of them. Yeah,
it's like you have these like 5 year olds have their birthday parties. And you have the cups and the plates and the napkins, and it was 2011, so Green Lantern was all the rage.
Until the movie came out,
and apparently he is now. So
yeah, that's right. And brightest day and blackest night, no evil shall escape his sight. Can't wait for that Green Lantern show without John Stewart, Hal Jordan, or Kyle Rayner. So we talked about that some last time. But
they got Guy Gardner.
Everybody's favorite Green Lantern.
Yeah.
So, you know, Jason, this is your first time, Matt. So do you have any here on Level 3.1? Do you have any Smallville hot takes or questions or things that have been stewing on your mind you would like to discuss with us here as we move into the last phase of the conversation?
Absolutely. So if...
Well, we are out of time. So that is too bad.
Oh, perfect.
Should have spoke up. Me.
No.
He just got Matt Damon.
That's right. Very good. Jimmy Perfect. Kimmel. Got it. Mm-hmm.
So my question for you, if Tom Welling was not Clark Kent, who would you cast?
Like in anything now, then?
Well, for Smallville.
Oh.
Then back in 2001, when it came out, who would you pick to be Clark Kent besides Tom Welling?
Well, the easy answer is, I guess, Jensen Ackles, since he was the the runner-up. I don't really know, other than people who are on WB shows, I don't know many, like, teenage actors. That's a hard question, right?
Who was hot 20 years ago?
Yeah, because you look at Tom, I'm like, oh, of course that guy's Superman. Like, it's like the perfect choice. Oh, a 14-year-old? Oh, not so much. I guess my answer would be a more age-appropriate guy. Like, if someone, like, maybe, like, 18 or 19 and not 24 playing a 14 or 15 year old, because hey, it worked out for the Harry Potter movies, right? Good for them, because you never know how kids are going to look when they get older, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like rolling the dice, because like, man, we can't have this guy be Superman in 7 years, right? Does anyone have any people they would thought of in 2000 2001? Haley Joel Osment, right? Is he that's the only I'm thinking of kid actors from the time. I don't know, what do you guys think?
I don't know.
Milo Ventimiglia.
Oh, there. WB Gilmore Girls.
Yeah,
see,
yeah,
he was always the perfect Nightwing or Terry McGinnis to me, but he's way too old for either of those now.
He was. I didn't realize this. I was watching the Ultimate Spider-Man cartoon on Disney Plus, and he's the voice of Spider-Man Noir in that.
Really?
Because I was like, why does this guy sound so familiar? And I was like, oh, that's awesome. Like, you know, he was really good in that. You know. Better than Nicolas Cage? I don't know. That's up for debate. But I think he would have been, maybe he would have been better as like a young Bruce Wayne or something. But that's other than him and Jared Padalecki or Jensen Ackles, that's the only actors I can think of.
Somebody who would have been a little bit more age appropriate would have been Brandon Routh.
Oh yes,
he's a few years younger than Tom Welling.
He's two or three years younger. So yeah. I mean, yeah, when they're that makes a big difference when you're. You know, 20 years old.
I mean, season one, he could have looked a little bit younger at least.
And he was actually a fan.
Yeah.
I go all over the place with Welling on that. I embrace that's part of his identity now. But I also, like, I really like the fact that Brandon Routh, like, there are pictures of him at Halloween parties dressed up just like we all have, right? Mm-hmm. Some point with the Superman shirt and the glasses, right? So, hey, I mean, he would have loved it back then. He would have been good, right? I think he would have been great. That's a good choice there, Ralph. Henry Cavill. What year did Count of Monte Cristo come out? 2000, 2001?
2002.
Okay, perfect, right? And he's Jim Caviezel, another guy who could have played Superman.
Yeah.
He's his son in the movie.
That's
right?
True.
It would have been great. I'm sure he would have loved to fly over here from England to be of a WB show. Matthew Boomer, another one?
So one person I was thinking of, if you go back to a young version of this person, it was Chris Evans, of course. So I know that it would be weird to have him since he's played two different Marvel characters already, but he was in a TV show which was called Opposite Sex with Allison Mack in the summer of 2000, which I'm sure you guys have heard of that, right? Crickets. It's called Opposite Sex.
We can't say that word on microphone, Jason. I'm
sorry. Oh,
that's a joke.
I just got banned.
You know what? I remember that now. I remember that seeing it like on their IMDb's, but that's all I know. Was it right. Ran for like one season, I guess, since Allison Mack was on Smallville the next year?
Yeah, so it was one season over the summer. They only did 8 episodes. So Milo was in this as well. And basically it's about a private school. It's an all-girls school that finally lets in guys. And 3 different guys are allowed to be able to come to this school, and basically their lives is turned upside down as they're trying to acclimate. Allison Mack was the girl next door that was trying to help Milo kind of, you know, get into the, he was the main focus, but it was actually a fun little show. But at the same time, Chris Evans actually played that character very well. And I'm like, okay, maybe he could have been Clark. You know, he was kind of quirky, but at the same time he had the build for it. So I'm like, he could have done that.
That's interesting, because today, like I've said this before, and again, I'm on commentaries and comments, right? Like Chris Evans, Captain America is like the spiritual successor to Christopher Reeve Superman, I think. Just the embodiment of like that, like, I'm the good hero, but I'm still relatable and earnest and people like me.
And I'll slide in your DMs.
Yes, that's true. And everyone vote. But wow, Chris Evans. That guy, what an actor, right? Because you go from, I'm going to have to go seek out the show and watch it now because it's around the same time. But I mean, my first exposure to him was Not Another Teen Movie.
Mm-hmm. That was my first too.
Yes.
Raunchy absolutely. Comedy, which is so, he's so good in it.
Has one of the best scenes in all
Danvers.
Of film in it.
Alex Danvers. Oh my God, yes. It's all connected.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that's who knew that he would be who he would, but whoever knows, right? I mean, how these actors' careers are going to go. Speaking of the other person you mentioned in that show, but moving on.
Do you remember years ago, Kevin Smith wrote a Batman comic and then he did the sequel to that?
Yes,
he keeps saying it's going to come out.
Why Ninjire Part 2, like, man.
Yeah, like Bellicosity or whatever it's called. And
Cacophony,
like,
and Widening Gyre.
Oh, but you're right. It starts with a B. You're right. It's like some Bellicosity Latin word for sound.
Of course. Whatever. Whatever,
Kevin.
It's
been like 12 years. And I'm just like, either
I was so excited
bring it
about
out.
That.
Yeah, either bring it out or like stop talking about it. Cause...
Well, that's it. No, that's good. I remember, Fat Man on Batman, the podcast came out. Yeah. Like, it was 8, 9 years ago now when it first started coming out. And I was like, oh, wow, I didn't know Kevin Smith had written a Batman comic. I'm like, oh, this sounds great. And then the guy that ran the comic shop wrote it with
Walt
him.
Walt Flanagan.
Walt Flanagan. Like the
comic book man.
Walt Flanagan.
Comic. That was a fun show. Comic Man on AMC.
Yeah, Comic Book Man.
Yeah, and then I get the issues, and then he's talking, oh, yeah, we're going to do Widening Gyre Part 2, man. And I'm excited. And then it's been, as you said, years, and I've given up. Because it was quite a cliffhanger,
It
too.
Did. Yeah. It was really good. Like, yeah. I enjoyed the hell out of that book, but... We're not going to get an ending, apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
He's too busy doing...
Whatever it is he's
whatever
doing.
New project he's... Tusk, or whatever.
Yeah, he keeps saying he's so busy, and then all the stuff that's coming in is, like, new stuff. It's like, okay, well, you could have finished that first and then come to this. Like, obviously, it's not a priority. I get it, but... Then stop talking about it, man. He keeps saying it's coming up.
Although it is frustrating that there's no ending, I do recommend you guys check it out. It's interesting. Kevin Smith is one of those guys, like... It's funny to put them in the same sentence, but him and Grant Morrison, right? I like listening to them talk about this stuff, but when it comes to the actual stuff they produce, I'm like, I don't know. Like, Grant Morrison is like, he's on a whole other level.
Yeah, he's up
there. But, like, I don't, that doesn't connect with me as much, like, oh, you know, the multiversity or, you know, all that high concept stuff, yeah, like Batman RIP, got that's going through time, like really weird.
Yeah.
So also, Superman was good, though.
How'd you feel about his action run at the beginning of the New 52? I loved that.
I loved it too.
Something unique, you know, that was because he was trying to get back to that whole like hero of the people, you know, from the 30s. I remember we went to Comic-Con at the time, and at the Lance and I were at Comic-Con, Lance and 52. We got totally sold. We got sold like Allison Mack got sold on Dexter. We bought like I thought I was gonna get what like 5 and ended up getting like 12.
Yeah.
I
was getting like of the New 52, I think I got up I was getting like 28 of them. It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
But the point is that they had their big launch. Grant Morrison had the Superman panel, he was talking about it, and he's, you know,
I read his book like because he got me that like for a birthday or Christmas.
The
or
Multiversity?
No, the Super Gods.
Oh, sure. I tried to read that. I couldn't.
It's hard, man. It was a hard read, but I got through it.
Was it a good book once you got through it? Like once?
Yeah, I felt fulfilled like having read it. Like I felt like I accomplished something. I felt a little smarter also. but that's long worn off at that point. At this point, so.
It was tough to get in that for sure.
Yeah, I liked his initial run, Joey. But like when it was like the year one Superman, but then everything fast forwarded 5 years after that. I was like, yeah, and then he just kind of. That's drifted away from the book at that point. So I'm trying to think. You know, I'm not the biggest fan of All-Star Superman either. Everybody loves it.
Yeah, I like that.
It's a hot take, I know. But maybe I need to rewatch it or read it sometime. I know we've talked about it. I know. It was actually one of the first Level 33.1 ones. I did with Nathan. Hmm. We were talking about the animated movies, and we talked about it. And
the book is better than the movie.
Yes.
I saw the movie first, and I saw it on a day that I got hit in the face by a baseball.
Sorry.
Which lands through my face.
I threw it at the glove. There was an issue with you catching it.
It was the glove. The point is, you didn't hit the trash can
hard enough to know what pitch was coming.
There it is.
There it is. There it is.
4 ALCSs in a row.
Yep. And our flag was still there. It's still up there. 2017, baby.
Oh, man. I've recently jumped back on the Astros bandwagon just in time for them to get eliminated from the playoffs. So
we deserve that.
We do. So cool. But, well, any other Superman Smallville related questions? Anyone? Jason, you're new, so we're going to defer to you.
Okay. Nothing that I have right off the top of my head immediately, but I'll definitely put some together for the next one.
Who is your favorite guest on the podcast, Jason?
On which podcast? Well, I listen to 4.
Well, the only one that matters. Always on the spot.
I know, I'm messing with you. I'm totally messing with you. No. I would say so far I've you put me on the spot here.
It's okay. You know, I'm just kind of giving you a hard time. You don't have to answer this.
It's hard to pick, you know? No, I'd say guest on the show. I'm happy to hear Lance's voice.
There we go. Thank you. We're definitely going to cut this out now.
I appreciate it.
No, he's ever since Lance, you moved over to Always Hold On to Arrow. I've been following there as well.
So it's been great
to hear you from this, and then actually transitioned there.
Oh well, thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for listening.
I'll add on to Lance. You have inspired me to rewatch because I can't like I with Smallville I don't have to rewatch because I've seen it 10 times.
Oh, okay.
And Arrow, since it just ended, I've only seen it all the way through once, and you know I've been rewatching and listening along with you, so it's been fun to go back to Arrow. I probably will drop off rewatching the show when we get later on in Arrow, but I'll still.
Oh, that's part of the experience, man. You gotta go through the pain.
It actually might be more fun to go through the more problematic seasons with us.
I'll stick through the podcast for that for sure. I don't know if I might just move over to Flash or something, which until that gets bad.
Well, it won't take long.
It won't take long.
Yeah. You'll get there in a flash. So. Now, you know, it's a more fun. You guys, as the listeners, you tell us. I think it's more fun to podcast about and then listen to when we're talking about terrible episodes. Like me, Lance, Kev from Always Alone to Arrow and 33.1, and Tom Gerke, who does our show art. We all talked about Fallout. And Fallout is one of the worst episodes of Smallville. And we had a lot of fun talking about it. Like, I've forgotten how bad. Like, I remember it was bad. Worse than I remembered. It's terrible.
Which one was that?
It's the one with Bow Wow.
Oh, where are my dogs at?
Oh yeah.
Purple energy hands. Oh wow. Yes. Terrible. And now I'm remembering why I didn't rewatch season 6 that much. So anyway,
Kansas. Kansas. Hard hitting dialogue.
Oh man, Joy, what are your thoughts on season 6? Man, is it one of your favorite seasons or your least favorite?
Yeah, no. Just reunion, the last one. I always like that just because of the Oliver and Lex stuff for the past. But yeah, no. Basically, once the Lexana triangle starts, so half of season 5, most of season 6, I black from my memory. I went in my current just watch through. We're on season 8, and we just saw Lana say goodbye, and my wife and I were so excited that we get two seasons to go. And we know she's gone for good, so that was just exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you excited to hear our coverage of season 6, Jason?
I am. I mean, Justice is one of my favorite episodes, and I like where they had the culmination of a lot of the build-up from season 5 with all these DC characters starting to show up, so I was excited about that one. However, there are some duds that are in there. I did like Labyrinth. That actually backed right up to it. And that's probably one of my favorites of all time. So there's some hits, there's some misses. Bow Wow was not the best, so.
For every Bow Wow, you have a Batista.
Batista.
So, oh, yeah. Year of the Celebrity?
Yeah.
Guest stars? Because you had Kane from WWE.
It's like the WWE guest stars.
Oh, man, season 6. So, well, cool. Any thoughts on season 6 then, JJ and Lex, as we wrap up here?
It's, and I've told you this before, and now I feel like the odd man out, because it is one of my favorites.
We'll break you, don't worry.
I felt like it was one of the most, it was the first time I felt like it was a Superman show, because I felt like he was doing more Superman-ish stuff.
I thought it was more of a Green Arrow show, but sure.
well, honestly, the Lex and Lana stuff didn't bother me that much. It's so funny what like hearing you all talk about it on the podcast and I'm just like, I don't know. I never really minded it. And maybe it's just because like in the back of my mind, I knew they weren't actually like their actual ages in the show, you know? It never really bothered me. I liked that aspect of it. I just wish that it had ended Lana's story. Because I think that she didn't have anywhere else to go after that. So her story in season 7 I thought was awful. But that aspect of season 6 never really bothered me too much. And we got that episode Nemesis, which is fantastic. You know, there was a lot of good stuff that they did in season 6 that they couldn't have done before. Like Labyrinth, like I think it's called Noir, the black and white episode.
Yeah.
Really cool episode. So a lot of stuff that they did that... And then obviously having the Justice League, I was like, yeah, this is Superman to me. So I was very excited. Not to disparage the other seasons, but it was definitely one of my favorites.
Yeah, no, it's enjoyable to go through because I have very spotty memory of it. Like, I have this encyclopedic knowledge of so much of Smallville, and these are kind of my blind spots, 6 and 7. So it's like it's like almost watching a new episode sometimes to me. So it's a lot of fun. So any last thoughts then, Lex, as we wrap up here?
Season 6 and... has kind of the same problem to season 10 as me, where the main villain, big bad, he appears at the beginning and then you don't really see him for like a very long stretch, and then at the end Darkseid shows up again. Season 6, same thing, they have phantoms in the first few episodes and then it kind of, you know, they don't really get mentioned for a while and then they come back. So I mean, that's not necessarily a negative. I mean, it is more so for season 10, but to have a season where the big threat doesn't seem to kind of be looming that often, you kind of forget about it, basically.
Kind of unfocused, yeah.
Yeah, so for me, season 6 is, like you, it's kind of spotty. Some of it's really good, some of it's not. The first half, you know, especially the Green Arrow introduction, everything is pretty good. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, we're in the first half now.
Mm-hmm.
God, get the second half. My God. Can't wait. We're going to make sure that regardless, if you like or do not like season 6, you will like the podcast, we promise. So.
All right, there we go.
All righty, y'all. Well, once again, thank you all for your very generous contributions, being members of Level 33.1. Hope you enjoy our roundtable discussions. But if people want to find you out there on the internet, let's just go around the table and see. So, Jason, where can people find you out there?
You can find me on Instagram at jskipper818 and Twitter at skipper818.
All righty. What about you, Lex?
They can find me on Instagram at lexprime89. And also, I'm doing my own podcast called Into the Speed Force, which will be out soon. I just finished the first episode, so once I can figure out how to get it on iTunes, it will be out. So look for
Into
that.
Into the Speed Force. So you guys picked a name.
I like that.
And what about you, Joey?
You can find me on Twitter at joeyd94_13.
Alrighty. And JJ, what about you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram. Both are at 4ComicJunkies. Have my own podcast. It's called 4ComicJunkies. Zach has been a guest before.
So that means it's a legit podcast.
It is. Kev from Always Hold On to Arrow was on an episode. Mm-hmm. Ended up boosting my ratings a little bit, so I liked that a lot. So that was a good one.
So when is Lance going to be on your show, JJ?
Well, oh, gosh, my connection is messed up here. What? Oh, no. actually, no, I thought about that, and I was going to ask you about an episode down the line a little bit.
Cool.
So I'll be in touch with you.
Sounds good, man.
And also Lauren, when we talked about earlier, she's been in a couple episodes. But yeah, it's a lot of fun where we talk about, if I can just plug for a second.
Oh, of course. Mm-hmm. That's what we're here for.
We talk about comic books and movies, TV shows, and how they can relate to our real life in a lot of ways, and how I try to get the message out there that comic books are not just disposable children's entertainment, that a lot of times they have something to say. I'm looking forward to the stuff I have going on for the end of the year and looking into next year, and yeah, always hold on to 4ComicJunkies.
There it is. So,
you did inspire me when I wanted to make mine. I was like, he's just a regular guy that got his friends together and did this podcast. I was like, why can't I? So
I mean, this guy could do it.
That's not what I meant.
Podcast? Are you kidding me? This guy, people listen to this? All right, I can do this. Very good. Well, that's great to hear, JJ. I mean, that's what it's all about. It's all about, you know, right here, right? This is a perfect example. Like, making connections, making friends online, mm-hmm. just making friends in fandom, bringing them together. And you know, and we don't really talk about the real world that often on here because this is a nice little escape, right? But especially in these times we're living in with the social distancing and all that, right? This is great, like, to have this avenue to connect with people in ways that technology has allowed us to in years past it wouldn't have. So it's so great to have this community that we built here for sure. So Lance, mm-hmm. where can people find you, my friend?
They can find me at Sir Lance Laster on all of my social medias. And you can find me talking about all the things that make Arrow Arrow, along with my partner, Cavante Gillis, on Always Hold On to Arrow podcast. We're part of the UFP network. You can find us at UFP Earth, and you can find us on Twitter at Do Not Fail Our Pod.
Very good. You're getting that down, man. You're getting that down.
I'm practicing. So,
keep practicing.
Yeah, exactly.
What's that from?
So, Turtles. Michelangelo.
That's it. So, as for me, I'm Moron Zach on Twitter, MoronZach. I also have another podcast on the UFP Earth Network on Twitter at UFP Earth. It's called Franchise Fatigue. We talk about movies, remakes, reboots, sequels, and when franchises get fatigued. We're also on Twitter at Franchise Fatigue. As for the podcast here, we are Always Smallville with 1S on Twitter, Always Little on 2 Smallville on Facebook, and you can send us an email at alwaysmallville@gmail.com, once again with 1S. Well, fun as always at level 33.1. Thank you all so much for being part of this. And if you like the conversation and want to be part of it next time, you can go to patreon.com/alwaysmallville1s and join us at the level 33.1 tier. But until next time,
always hold on to Smallville. Arrow.
Always Hold On to Smallville is brought to you by listeners like you. Chris Fuchs, Cavante Chillis, Casey Cochran, James Bandini II, Darren Kirscht, Lex Ledger, Joey Deanberg, JJ Hodges, DJ Duena, Jason Skipper, Nathan McKenzie, Tim Miller, Thomas Navin, Joe Mickendo, Steve Rogers, John Curcio, Atif Sheik, Molly Ficarella, Trayvon Brady, Mike Franz, Dylan D'Antonio, Mariana Sachi, Rachel Miller, Andrew Parker, James Lee, Jonathan England, Adam Sullins, Joe Michael, Nathan Rothatcher, Zachary Burkhalter, Corey Moore, Dallas Hernandez, Nick Ryan Magdoza, Eddie Bissell, Jim Thomas, Nicholas Fansler, Catherine Caldwell, Will Hunt, Clunk Kent, Tom Gerke, Nicholas Goso, Jared Gibbs, Erica Flynn, Anthony Anderson, Jasmine Magelli, and Keith Falls. Thank you so much to all these patrons, and you too can become a patron by going to patreon.com/alwaysmallville with one S. Hope to see you there.